Let's read together Leviticus chapter 4. In this chapter, we have a description and details concerning the sin offering. Let's begin by reading the first 12 verses. Leviticus chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a person sins unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done, and does any of them, if the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish as a sin offering. He shall bring the bull to the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord, lay his hand on the bull's head, and kill the bull before the Lord. Then the anointed priest shall take some of the bull's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of meeting. The priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle some of the blood 7 times before the Lord in front of the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood on the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall pour the remaining blood of the bull at the base of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. He shall take from it all the fat of the bull as the sin offering, the fat that covers the entrails and all the fat which is on the entrails, the 2 kidneys and the fat that is on them by the flanks, and the fatty lobe attached to the liver above the kidneys he shall remove, as it was taken from the bull of the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn them on the altar of the burnt offering. But the bull's hide and all its flesh with its head and legs, its entrails and offal, the whole bull he shall carry outside the camp to a clean place where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned." Let's begin our study of this chapter, Leviticus chapter 4, with some background notes. Here in Leviticus chapter 4, we have the fourth of the 5 different offerings that the children of Israel were to bring before the Lord in obedience to the law of God. The first 3 offerings that we studied, the burnt offering, the grain offering, and the peace offering, were all considered sweet savor or soothing aroma offerings, as we've seen. But now the 4th and the 5th offerings, namely the sin offering and the trespass offering, are both considered non-sweet savor offerings. The reason for the difference is that in the first 3 offerings, the sacrifice itself is the focus of attention, and that was a soothing aroma before the Lord when it was consumed on the altar. But in the sin offering and trespass offering, the sin and sinner for which the sacrifice was being made were more the focus. Sin is never a soothing aroma before the Lord. You will notice, as shown in most of your Bibles, that the description and details of the sin offering is covered in chapter 4, verse 1, all the way through verse 13 of chapter 5. Now, we will cover only chapter 4 in this talk, recognizing that the first 13 verses of chapter 5 give examples and further details of the sin offering, which we will consider in our next talk. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for Leviticus chapter 4. Doctrinal point number 1. The sin offering was a mandatory sacrifice whenever sin was committed. The sin offering was a mandatory sacrifice whenever sin was committed. In verses 1 through 12, the verses that we just read, we have first a general description of the sin offering, and then we have the details of the presentation of the sin offering when the anointed high priest would sin. His sin affected the people, as we read in verse 3. "If the anointed priest sins, bringing guilt on the people, then let him offer to the Lord for his sin, which he has sinned, a young bull without blemish, as a sin offering." We see in verses 1 and 2 that the sin offering was to be brought before the Lord even for unintentional sins. Unintentional sins included sins of ignorance and sins of omission, as well as sins done knowingly but not defiantly. According to Numbers chapter 15 and verse 30, there was no sacrifice for willful, defiant sin and rebellion. An important feature of the sin offering was that the blood of the sacrifice was sprinkled in front of the inner veil of the tabernacle, verse 6, and also applied to the horns of the incense altar before the veil, verse 7. And, as we'll see in some cases, also applied to the horns of the large brazen altar before the rest of the blood was poured out at the base of the altar, the brazen altar, verse 7. All of this was for purification of the whole sanctuary, which had to be by blood, as we read in Leviticus chapter 8. After the fat and inward parts of the sacrifice were offered up to the Lord on the altar of burnt offering, the rest of the animal was taken to a clean place outside the camp and burned. Verse 12. In verses 13 through 21, we have the description and details of the sin offering when the whole congregation sinned against the Lord. We see in verse 15 that in this case of the whole congregation involved in sin, the elders represented the whole congregation when they laid their hands on the sacrifice. Remember, the laying on of hands on the sacrifice implied identification and a recognition that the sacrifice had died as a substitute for the people. Now in verses 22 through 26, we have the description and details of the sin offering when a leader in one of the tribes sinned. Again, note the similarities. Leviticus chapter 4, beginning now with verse 22. When a ruler or leader has sinned and done something unintentionally against any of the commandments of the Lord his God in anything which should not be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the goat and kill it at the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour its blood at the base of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all its fat on the altar, like the fat of the sacrifice of the peace offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. Now in verses 27 through 35, we have the description and details of the sin offering when an ordinary Israelite sinned. Verses 27 through 31 are in reference to the sin offering when it was a goat, and verses 32 through 35 are in reference to the sin offering when it was a lamb. And in chapter 5, verse 7, we see that a poor person could bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons as a sin offering. Let's read verses 27 through 35 of chapter 4, and again note the emphasis on the shed blood of the sacrifice. Leviticus chapter 4, beginning now with verse 27. If anyone of the common people sins unintentionally by doing something against any of the commandments of the Lord in anything which ought not to be done and is guilty, or if his sin which he has committed comes to his knowledge, then he shall bring as his offering a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he has committed. And he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill the sin offering at the place of the burnt offering. Then the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. And the priest shall burn it on the altar for a sweet aroma to the Lord. So the priest shall make atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. If he brings a lamb as his sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish. Then he shall lay his hand on the head of the sin offering and kill it as a sin offering at the place where they kill the burnt offering. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, put it on the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and pour all the remaining blood at the base of the altar. He shall remove all its fat, as the fat of the lamb is removed from the sacrifice of the peace offering. Then the priest shall burn it on the altar according to the offerings made by fire to the Lord. So the priest shall make atonement for his sin that he has committed, and it shall be forgiven him. Notice that the parts of the sacrifice burned on the altar were a soothing aroma to the Lord, even though the sin offering itself was not a sweet savor offering. So here in Leviticus chapter 4, we've seen the description and details of the sin offering. The sin offering was a mandatory sacrifice whenever sin was committed. Doctrinal point number 2. The sin offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, the substitute who was made sin for us. The sin offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, the substitute who has made sin for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we read, "For he, that is God, made him, that is Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." 2 Corinthians 5:21. This truth is what is emphasized in the sin offering, that Christ was judged for our sins on the cross. As 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 says, "Christ himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree." 1 Peter 2:24. In the sin offering, we see the Messiah of Psalm 22 crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In the sin offering, we see the suffering servant of Isaiah 53, who was smitten by God and afflicted. Isaiah 53, verse 4. We know it was because of our sins that the Lord Jesus was forsaken and smitten by God. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Besides the emphasis on the shed blood in the sin offering, another important feature of the sin offering was that it was burned outside the camp. This detail of the sin offering, which stresses the judgment of Jesus Christ for our sins on the cross, is explained in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. "For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate." Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 and 12. No kind of human religion or good works could save us. The Lord Jesus had to go to the place of judgment, outside the camp of religious Judaism, as our substitute and suffer the shameful penalty of our sins. The sin offering is a spiritual picture of the sacrifice of Christ, the substitute who was made sin for us. And that brings us then to our practical application for Leviticus chapter 4. Let's go to Jesus outside the camp. Let's go to Jesus outside the camp. Our practical application comes right from the next two verses in Hebrews chapter 13. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. "Therefore, let us go forth to him," that is Jesus, "outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come." Hebrews chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Now, the context of these verses is not salvation, but Christian living. The point is that the Lord Jesus is still rejected by this world, including the religious world, which will not acknowledge Christ as the only way of salvation. Let me ask you, are we willing to go outside the camp and identify with Jesus and bear the reproach that comes with being a committed Christian? This world is not our home. Let's go to Jesus outside the camp.